St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. This is on page 983 in the Pew Bibles and in the large Bibles 1740. Peter's Confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, on page 1138, or in the large Bibles, 2006. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who are many may form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you that you have given us so much. And we just pray this morning that as we have heard your word, you will speak to our hearts, that we may do what you want us to do, that we may use the gifts that you have given to us. And we may use those gifts as well in support of those around us, for we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. So this morning, I would very much like us to think about who we are following. Who we are following. I won't ask you to give me an answer because you're all looking at me, and I think if I said put up your hands, there might be a sort of not a response. But who are we following? And up there we have, "Do you know this person? Do you know this person?" The illegitimate child of a teenage mother. A one-time refugee. Father unknown. Stepfather working-class carpenter. Ran away from home, aged 12. on the run from the authorities. Dubious friends. Without permanent abode. And the first question that Jesus asked the disciples was, "Who do people say that I am?" And I've now got some photos that I would like to share with you from around the world. So the first photo is a wanted poster, which comes from Latin America. The second photo is Jesus, the Guru, an image from India, marks of crucifixion, levitating, ascending into heaven, surrounded by rushing wind, Holy Spirit, when all heard the gospel in their own language. Flight to Egypt. Uganda, during Idi Amin's rule. Tortured Christ from Brazil. And Margaret Tarrant, English countryside. Angry Christ. Philippines, during Marcos' reign. Overturning of temples, plight of indigenous people, exploitation of sex trade. Calming the storm. India Christ, at one with the natural elements. Laughing Christ. Latin America, Jesus Christ, the liberator. Foot washing. Jesus steadying Peter as he reaches out to him. The golden bowl. Cameroon sharing the living sacrifice. So as we have looked at these pictures, I wonder what our reactions are. Jesus was very radical and deeply shocking to the Jewish establishment. Have we an image of Jesus? And do those pictures challenge our assumptions about him? When Peter said those words, "Who do you say Jesus is?" When Peter heard those words and gave his reply, Peter had no idea that Jesus was the Son of God. He knew that he was the Messiah, but he didn't actually understand the meaning of what it was that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus knew that Peter and the other disciples did not understand what that meant. And it is at this stage that we get a turning point in Jesus' life as he set his face towards Jerusalem and began to teach his disciples about what was going to happen in the future. And I believe that these passages today are really challenging us to think about who Jesus is. So the first point I would like to draw out is that by looking at Jesus, we can discover and understand about our God. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And Tom Wright gives us a picture which I actually find quite helpful. If we are sitting in a room and there is a person next door, we can't see through the wall. But if a mirror is placed in the passageway between the two rooms, then it might be possible to get an image of that person in the room next door. Jesus is that mirror. He shows us what God is like. And secondly, it is Jesus who holds together the old creation and the new creation. Everything was created by him, and it is through Jesus that all things are able to be reconciled with God by his blood that was shed on that cross. Thirdly, it is by knowing Jesus and following him that we can be truly human. Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God. He has enabled us to be brought back into right relationship with the God we worship. Jesus has demonstrated how we can be truly human because he was truly human. He lived his life as an example for us all, and he intends that we should become like him. To become like him, we must know him, and this is a process which goes on for the whole of our life. That Jesus can be our friend as well as the Son of God is something that often we actually find very hard to understand. God chose to reveal himself to the world he created through Jesus. So it follows that the more we get to know Jesus as our friend, journeying with us, we should understand more and more who the one true God is, what his purposes for us are, and what he has done for the world he created. So, I ask you again, who do you say Jesus is? Now, Peter gave his answer before Jesus' death and resurrection. But we, today, here in St. Matthew's, have witnesses who recorded what happened, recorded the death and resurrection of Jesus, and also some of the words that he spoke after he'd risen from the dead. We can know that Jesus is the Son of God because of those witnesses and what we read, and listening to God and knowing that Jesus is walking with us today. But we have to open our hearts and minds to him. We need to be willing to say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. But Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. This means that we put self behind us and follow what God wants of us. It's not an easy thing to do. Jesus never promised that being a Christian would be plain sailing. But if we believe that God created our world, then he is the best person to tell us how we should live in it. Jesus came to live on earth, so he knows what it is like. He's experienced family life, helping his dad, earning his keep, having brothers and sisters. He had friends. Friends who betrayed him. Others who ran away when life became very difficult. But after his resurrection, his friends realized who he was. And many of them, of course, were eventually killed for their beliefs. So perhaps we all need to reassess our priorities. We have to be sure that we're following the right person. We can get to know Jesus better by reading about him in the Bible, by talking to him and listening to what he has to say to us and acting on what we hear him saying to us. By worshipping together, by learning from one another, by journeying together in all that we do. And as we think about that passage from Romans, I would like us to ask Jesus to show us, each one of us here this morning, and all our friends who we know want to follow Jesus, what it means to follow him as a member of the body of Christ, and to encourage us to welcome the diversity of gifts and talents that he has given to each one of us. As Paul wrote to the Roman church, he was aware of the tensions that they faced. Christians in Rome came from different cultures. Some were Jews, some were Gentiles, some were Greeks, some were Romans. Some had been involved in pagan worship. They had different ways of looking at the way in which they lived their lives. Paul begins by entreating his listeners to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If they are thankful for all God's mercies, then out of gratitude to him, their response should be one of total dedication and obedience. And the motive for our own Christian obedience and worship of God should come from our gratitude to God's goodness to us through Jesus Christ. He who cares and loves us, we who deserve nothing. Our daily worship should seek expression in who we are and what we do from day to day, as well as being here on a Sunday. After we leave here this morning, will we continue to worship God? If we use our tongues to speak lies, our mouths to criticize, if our feet cross the road so that we don't have to speak to that person we don't like very much across the road, if our eyes turn away from God, if our ears listen to gossip, if our hands stay by our sides instead of helping others or doing willingly the task that confronts us, are we then offering our bodies as a living sacrifice? How much do we conform to the pattern of this world? We all have a contribution to make to the body of Christ, and if we do not make that contribution, then the body of Christ is not functioning as effectively as it might otherwise do. Many Christians that I talk with often have difficulty in making a sober assessment of their abilities. They either think that they're no good at anything, because they don't want to be thought proud or arrogant, or they have too much confidence in their own abilities. How do we have a right judgment? Can we begin to look at ourselves through God's eyes? Not by comparing ourselves with those around us, but by using the gift of faith that God gives to those who believe. As members of the body of Christ, we do not exist for ourselves. God has a purpose for each one of us. We are who we are because of the body of Christ to which we belong. Each one of us has a function within that body, and we all belong to one another. These words stop me in my tracks as I think of the implication of what that means. For us to do God's will effectively, we need each one of us to exercise our gifts fully. How do we react to that interdependence? Do we like it? Do we say we don't need anybody else? Do we encourage one another to use their gifts? Do we look out for those people who are not using their gifts? Do we have a sober assessment of our own abilities? So in conclusion, I would encourage us to remember that who we are and what we do should be measured against what God has called us to do and who he wants each one of us to be. It's easy to see other people's failings and to attempt to correct them in the meantime, leaving our own failings untouched. Let us look squarely at our own strengths and weaknesses and give thanks to God that there are others with different strengths and weaknesses which balance out in our Christian community. We should be a body in which all the parts are interdependent, and which those parts can fulfill their function of worship in their everyday life because of the grace and mercy that each one of us has received from Christ Jesus. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given to each one of us. We just pray, Father, that as the body of Christ, we may learn to use those gifts in the way that you want us to. And those things, Father, which we don't do so well, may we be prepared to admit to and seek help for. Help us, Father, to help one another. Help us, Father, to grow more in what it means to live with one another, to be with one another, so that as people see a Christian community, they will want to belong to it, and we will welcome people into our community. We thank you, Father, that you will enable us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen.